Amen. Well, it's one of them times in a service where I get criticized for doing, criticized for don't. I just ask more saying testimonies, and then you think I didn't study. And then I got alone. I was up this morning all the week making notes and planning this. My preacher said, I know the Spirit. So I think I'll just try to please the Lord and let it highly appear. Amen. All right, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, just for a few minutes this morning. Amen. We're going to say a few things here. And once again, you don't want to miss tonight. Don't miss tonight. There's some people coming tonight that's got so hungry for the God you wouldn't believe it. This was our vacation, our family vacation. And I told my girls, for Chris and Corey, they'd heard our seniors come back from their senior trip talking about Universal Studios in California. And they said, we will nothing want to go to Universal Studios. We want to go to Universal Studios. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go to Universal Studios. But then everybody told me, Danny, do something with them girls. Spend time with them girls. Yes, yes, I'll do that. Yes, Lord, I'll spend time with them girls. So I said, would you girls go to Universal Studios in Orlando or Kermit, West Virginia? And they look kind of funny. I said, listen, girls, it's 110 in the shade down there. The week of the 4th of July, there'd be a mile, a half a mile. And that's the truth, isn't it? That's true. Oh, it's awful. Miles long of lines. And there's bugs that'll eat you alive. And I said, would y'all like to have $100 to spend back? And they said, yes. And they changed their mind and said they want to go to West Virginia. My vacation cost me $200 and we had a great time. Seriously, we did. But they got to go to a water park and one of my cousins took them and it was their choice. I told them, I said, I'll take you to Florida if you want to go. But thank God they're saved and they love the Lord. And they said, no, Daddy, we want to go. And they had more fun. They said, this is the best. We've had more fun this week. They got to ride four-wheelers. Up riding that four-wheelers up and down Main Street, you know, going to the store and stuff. And had just a wonderful, wonderful time. But I wound up preaching them. I've gone four nights and preached of them. And I preached Tuesday night at a church, Wednesday night at another church, and Thursday night at a Bible study. And they people crowded full. This house filled full of people sitting in the floor just begging me to keep them. I talked for an hour and kept saying there's more, more, more. I was up Wednesday night and Thursday night, even Friday night. I think Friday night was the earliest I got in the bed. We had an apartment where my cousin and his wife just gave us an apartment to stay in. And Laurie and the girls stayed with some other cousins. They'd all go to bed and go to sleep. I'd be at my cousin Linda Gale's house answering Bible questions. 2 o'clock in the morning was the earliest we quit. I think 1:30 Friday night, through about 3 o'clock Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and it was just, what about this? What about that? What about this? What does this mean? What does that verse mean? Just bang, bang, bang. And you never seen such hunger for the Word of God in your life. And a bunch of them be in the evening service tonight. I got to thinking about all that God's blessed us with. They were asking questions like, do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? And you think about that now. There ain't a kid in our youth choir don't know the answer to that, probably. I mean, even the little ones, most of them do. They were asking questions like, what is the book? What's the difference between the Living Bible and the King James Bible? They were asking questions that were so simple that we just take it for granted here. And I got to thinking about us and our church, and I got a little word for our church this morning. And it's not going to be long. It might be loud, but it's not long. And I want to talk to you just a minute. I hate all you visitors who are here to hear this. But I just want to talk to our church for a minute, and maybe the same is true in your church, about the worst sin in the church. The worst sin in the church. It's in Romans chapter 1. You say, Lord, have mercy. Romans chapter 1, everybody knows what that is. Is that what kind of church we're in? Romans chapter 1, the whole chapter is about God burning Sodom and Gomorrah and the homosexuals. And the Lord, he said, I know what he's going to preach on. That the worst sin in this church, preacher? Well, no, sure ain't. I hope it ain't even in here. But it ain't the worst one. The worst sin in our church, and this is for all you people and daddies, this is our worst sin here this morning. Now, nothing might be next week, and I may call it the worst, but this morning, this is the worst one to me. Yeah, I mean it too. If you'll read Romans chapter 1 in verse 24, it said God gave them up to uncleanness. This is how our nation becomes homosexual. This is what's happening to America this morning. In verse 25, it said they changed the truth of God, that's your Bible, into a lie and worshiped and served bodybuilders and movie stars and rock singers more than the Creator Himself. Amen? In verse 26, it said God gave them up to vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. It's nothing unclean at all. Turn the TV on nowadays and in motels and stuff and see two women kissing. That's the normal thing. You can't even make as good Hollywood movie star nowadays if that's not part of your lifestyle. Verse 27 said, and likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another. And on and on and on. Verse 28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God. Verse 31, without understanding. Verse 32, knowing the judgment of God. You say, good night, preacher. We're saved here this morning. You don't need to read them kind of scriptures to us. Well, what got me was, what got them people in that fix? The worst sin in their church this morning is what caused them people to wind up hating God and disobeying God and being turned over to a reprobate mind. You know what it is? Verse 21. Verse 21. Sin in our church, a New Manor Baptist Church. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know what ruined a church? You know what ruined a nation? You know what ruined it? It's when you quit being thankful for how much God's blessed you and what He's done for you. You look up here at me this morning. I'm guilty of this. I'm preaching to Brother Danny. Brother, I'm just as guilty of this as any of y'all. It's very hard to stay thankful for our natural, our flesh. We want to complain about all the stuff that ain't right and all the stuff that we don't have instead of being thankful for what we have got. Let me tell you something. I wrote this down, still laying in the bed this morning. My wife was still asleep, and I woke up early, 6:30, and I didn't go to bed till something or two, I guess. And I woke up, and there's just thoughts running right there, just bang, 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 bang. I turned around, got a pen, and started writing. It's dark, and I started writing like this. And I can tell what I'm writing in the dark, and then I can't read it when it gets light. But I was writing these words down like this, and I wrote down some of these things that I'm going to give you this morning. You know what? I wrote this down a few minutes later. I woke up this morning and did not have a migraine headache. You say, well, so what? It'd be a big what if you was laying at home with one morning. I've had some bad headaches, and I'm not sure I've had migraine, but they say a migraine headache is when it hurts so bad that you can't stand the lights on, and you're sick and you feel like you're going to throw up. If that's what one is, I've had one. I've had a few. And there are people at home in the bed with them this morning. Guess what? I didn't have one. You forget how good it is to feel good till you don't feel good. And when you feel bad, you'd give anything to feel good. Ain't that right? You forget how much you care about your kids when one of them about gets killed or does get killed. Then suddenly you realize how much you love them. It's a shame that we about have to lose everything we've got before we realize how thankful that we ought to be for it. What I'm going to try to do this morning is jar you a little bit and make you start being thankful for what you've got before something terrible happens to you or to me. I didn't have a migraine. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. If I had a migraine and I was over here, and I've tried to preach like that, and I've done it a few times, and if I was over here going, I didn't want the lights on, said, turn the lights out so I can get out. Lay me home. Don't nobody talk. Turn the lights out. Get out of the room. Tell the kids, shut up. Close the doors. And all of a sudden, I got well and started feeling like I feel right now. I'd go, glory to God. Praise God, I'm well. Woo, hallelujah. Well, Now, that didn't happen to me this morning. Something better happened to me than getting healed of a migraine. I never got one. Amen? What a blessing, people. Did you just wake up this morning and say, thank God I feel good? How are you thankful for what God's done for you? I woke up this morning and my back did help me get out of bed. I hurt my back. First time I had my back was in high school playing basketball, and was in there in break acting fool. And I went down there and tried to do some stupid move and twisted like that, and something went, oop, like you stuck a little knife right there. And ever since then, once you ever pull a muscle in your back or one of those discs bulge out or something, you have to be careful. You got to tell where you move, how you live, and it don't bother me now. But over the years, there have been times, remember that time right before the youth rally, I laid right there in skip practice, and I couldn't even walk in and out. Guess what? I woke up this morning, my back was not hurting one bit. I heard somebody come to church one time, and they got up and they said, praise God. They said, I just want to praise the Lord. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Said, we was coming to church this morning, and said, there's a car come over on our side of the road, and said, we almost hit him in just at the last second, my husband turning, and we missed him, and I just want to thank God. He protected us for not, listen, why do we have to almost get killed before we start thanking God for taking care of? You know what our problem is this morning? God's been so good to us and blessed us so much that we get so used to it that we're spoiled and we're just padded rotten. And I'm telling you, I'm talking about me. I ought to be the first one in the altar this morning. God's been good to this old boy right here. And you know what? You know what starts you going downhill? You become unthankful. You become unthankful. The worst sin at New Manna Baptist Church this morning is that we're just not thankful enough for what God's done for us. Amen. I woke up this morning and all of my kids are saved. Are your kids saved this morning? Boy, you ought to be shouting this morning. Are your kids going, I woke up this morning and every one of my kids is saved. Thank God. I woke up this morning, my wife saved. I woke up this morning knowing that I had a good church to come to this morning. I thought, boy, it's a blessing. What some people do, they dread having to go to church on Sunday. They say nothing but a fuss and a fight, and they run the preacher off every 2 or 3 years, and it's just fussing and arguing and battling. Old deacon so-and-so won't let the Lord bless, you know, and all of that. I'm glad I didn't have to get up and think I had to come to a track at this morning. I'm glad I could get up thinking, boy, wonder what's going to happen today. Wonder who might get saved today. Boy, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful for a church. I'm glad that I did not wake up with a hangover this morning. Dead. They still ain't up. And when they wake up, their head's going to be hurting, feel like it's that big around. They tell me, I ain't never had a hangover, but they tell me you feel awful. And they say, oh, it's the most awful feeling in the world. There's a lot of them right now, as I speak, sitting around out there in homes, sitting around this holding their head up against the side of the wall, having to go like this to walk through the house, you know, and all of this. They don't know, look at their bill phone, think, where'd my money go? I just got paid Friday evening. Well, where was I last night? I don't even know where I went. I'm glad this morning I didn't have to wake up like that. Thank God, thank God. You know what gets people in a mess like that? Not being thankful for what you've got right now. Amen. Some of you gripe because your mama woke up this morning, it's raining, and you wanted to leave. Hey, you couldn't even get up and get yourself ready and come on to the house of God. You know where you're headed? You're headed to a life of sin because you're not thankful for what God's done for you. Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm not tooting my horn. I ain't got one to toot. And brother, my tooted up 30 years ago. But I want to tell you what this morning, ladies and gentlemen, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure out that God's been good to this bunch of people right here this morning. God's been good to us. God let us live in a land where we can breathe the air, drink the water, read the book, come to church, hear old-fashioned Bible preaching, spiritual singing. Brother, the worst sin we can commit is not being thankful for what God's done for us. I know why some of you kids ain't going to camp. You ain't thankful for what God's done for you. Give me this baloney. Amen. Amen, brother. I knew where I spent my money yesterday. Amen. What about our church? Thank God you go to a church where people move to come here and go to our church. That always amazes me. Everywhere we go, we bring 2 or 3 back with us. Things, you think, boy, things are bad here. It must be a lot worse out there, evidently. We have people move here from other states all the time. All the time to come to our church. There's families sitting in here this morning that have moved to another state just so they can get their kids in our church. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. They leave a good job. Hey, listen to me now. I'm getting ready to say something very important. I want all you to hear. They'll leave a good job, take a cut in pay, drive halfway across the country just so they can be a part of our worship services right here in our church. You say, yeah, but they don't know what I know about this place. Yeah, thank God they don't. And that problem, you know too much.
Yeah, come on.
Some of you people, you know so much, God can't even bless you. You just know too much. That's your problem, man. You know too much. You know so much about everything and everybody. When you come to church, you can't even see the Lord. That's your problem this morning. You know too much. Some of you ought to jerk that phone off of the wall and find the trash can and you'll say, hey, I've come here to worship God, not to see who's who and who's here and who ain't here, who's separated from their husband and who's running around on the wife. You ought to just get up and say, hey, I've come to worship God. That's why you can go somewhere else and get a blessing and come here and can't get nothing, because all you do is inspect everybody. Oh, well, I seen old so-and-so. Did you see that dress she had on? And did you see that dress? Listen, man, do like me. I just come to church and don't pay no attention to it. I just got in on that singing a while ago. I'm not back there with a measuring stick measuring how long your hair is. The Lord will take care of that. I ain't looking around in here to smell, see if I smell liquor on anybody's breath. I've met here to worship God this morning. We ought to be thankful for a place like this. You say, oh, I don't know how it is around here. Must not be too bad. All them people wouldn't want to come here all the time. Your problem is, y'all know what y'all's problem is. Y'all listen to me, New Manna? Me too? You're like that little boys on that ship. And our young people, you're a lot like this right now. A lot of you are like what I'm getting ready to say. They're in this ship sailing across the ocean, a big long trip. And this one little boy, he's about 14 or 15. He's saying, I don't like this. And I don't like that. And the food's no good. And I don't like that. And I don't like this. It's too hot. I don't like the other thing. When are we going to get there? How much longer is it going to be? I don't want this. I'm tired of it. I wish I never even come on this trip. Why here? Why here? And about that time, some of them sailors grabbed that little brat up and rode back and throwed him overboard. And son, he's going down like that. And he's about to drown, going down for the last time, and they left him there till he's almost drowned. And they finally threw him one of them little things, and he grabbed that thing for dear life like this, and they pulled him up in here, and you know, he went right over there and sat down like this, and well, I tell you, he never opened his mouth the rest of the time. He is just thanking God he's in the ship. He's just thanking God he's on the boat. That's what's wrong with you. God's blessed you so much. God's been so good to you. You forgot what it's like to feel bad. You forgot what it's like to be lost. You forgot what it's like to be sinking in sin. You forgot what it's like to be messed up in the world. You forgot what it's like to feel bad. We ought to just be thankful for what he's done for us and thank him today. You know what caused Sodom and Gomorrah to get messed up like they did? They were not thankful. They were not thankful. Amen. Talking about youth camp. Youth camp. I feel like besides our regular church, I feel like it's done more for our young people in America than anything we've ever done. I make that statement based on being here. I've been here since the word go. There's two people. It's been here through the thick and the thin of the whole mess and watched it all go, and that's me and Carrie. And buddy, I'll tell you, me and her both can tell you, along with some others that's been with us from the beginning, that when God gave us that spot on the lake, he chopped off a little corner of heaven and dropped it down there where boys and girls. That was no accident. It was no accident. There was a reason for it. There's a purpose for it. We had kids last year get up and stand up and say, I didn't even want to go to camp. But thank God I did. My life's been changed. Youth rally began because of camp. Not our camp, the little one when we went to in Bryson City when all of them got on fire for God. Youth rallies started right after that. Preachers asked me all over the country. They said, Brother Danny, how'd you get them youth rallies going? I'd like to have a big... I didn't even decide to do that. I called Brother Horace Minton in Lenore. Me and him was talking. I said, Horace, our young people is on fire for God. And he said, really? I said, you wouldn't believe it. I said, I don't know what to do with them. I mean, it's 24 hours a day. And I said, I'm going to get them together on Saturday night and we'll fix some hot dogs and stuff. That's why you have hot dogs, youth rally, to this day. We're like them baseball players. Got to have them same socks every game. So we know we hit a home run. Got to have them dogs. Amen. But I'll tell you what. I told him, and he said, well, we'll bring our kids. And we told some other 300 people showed up. And finally grew to 3,000. You know what? Kids at camp getting on fire for God. You know what started New Manor Christian School? July 21st, 1994, at New Manor Youth Camp. The glory fell. Or as we say on the tape, the wind blew. And I'm telling you what, God moved again. Lord have mercy. You know what's wrong with some of you mamas and daddies? You just ain't thinking. You just are not thankful. You just are not thankful for what God's done for you. I know what some of you said. Well, all these kids, why I can't even make my kids clean the room or mow the grass. It's just church, 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 church. I mean, now listen, I know that. I understand that. Mine's the same way. It's church, church, church all the time. I mean, it's Monday night, they're going out. Tuesday night, Bible study. Wednesday night, church. And Thursday night, visitation. Friday night, they get together. Saturday night, prayer meeting. And all that. But oh, listen to me, parents. Listen to me, parents. Listen to me, parents. It could be a lot, lot worse. There are literally tens of thousands of parents out there this morning that don't know where their teenager is. They don't know whether they're dead or alive. They don't know when they're going to come home killed or somebody going to kill them somehow. And they're going to come home or blow their brains out or they're going to get murdered or the stroke slide. I'm not joking. I'm being serious. And here, listen, you've got a kid that's interested in church. Lord have mercy. Don't try to talk them out of it. Don't discourage them. Jump up and down. Clap your hand and say, glory to God. My kid wants to serve God. You know what your problem is? You just ain't thankful. You ought to have some kids that we met at that juvenile center about 6 months and you'd be thanking God for some of y'all's kids. Yes, sir. You would. I know they're not perfect, but wonder where they got that. They're kin to you. If you was perfect, you'd have perfect kids. Perfect couple can't produce imperfect kids. People say, ah, the little brat. Well, the little pair of brat parents too. We're all brats. You know what they told me about the schools recently about in public school? Not here. Don't you go out here and say, I said this about McDowell. I didn't say it. It might be true, but I didn't say it. That they're smoking cigarettes in this hall and pot on the school ground on a regular basis, and you can get any drug anytime you want it. And the kids get tipped off when the dogs are coming. I'm not talking about any school here in McDowell County right now. Don't you go out and misquote me. That the kids get tipped off when the dogs are coming. Every once in a while, the government, you know, bring them dogs to sniff and have a drug check. Well, see, if they go in there and find drugs, it's going to look bad on somebody. So somebody tells the key leader, and the key leader tells all the kids, don't bring nothing Tuesday. Dogs are coming. So they leave the drugs at home Tuesday, and the drugs search and the school's clean. So y'all don't know one thing. Y'all get around a bunch of these kids and listen to them talk. I'm going to have a gang here tonight. Some of you parents that think it's not important to put your kids in a Christian school, some of y'all need to sit down and talk to some of these kids. I'm going to have about an hour and a half tonight. Just listen. You know what's wrong with you? You think, well, I went and I turned. Now, you didn't go to these nowadays. Right. No, you didn't either. And I'm not fussing at you right now. I really don't. It may seem like I'm fussing, but I'm not fussing. You don't want to hear me fuss. I don't fuss, really. I don't fuss. Well, but I'll tell you what. These kids said the dogs, they said all you got to do is take, on the day the dogs come, is take your drugs in the classroom with you. Because the dogs can't come to class, they just sniff the hallways through the lockers. You know what you ought to do? You know what you ought to do this morning? Instead of thinking, well, I don't know about that school and my kids, you ought to be clapping your hands and thanking God in heaven that your kids got a place to go to school. At least try to teach them the right way. You know how many acts of violence we had last year? That many. You know how many drugs we found in our school last year? Zip. You know how many assaults we had on teachers? Zero. Let the statistics speak for themselves. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what's wrong with us? We just ain't thankful. We just ain't thankful. Kathy, why don't you come up here? Good night. I was going to say a whole bunch of stuff. But our revival for the summer, people, starts tomorrow night. Miss Shirley, why don't you come up here just a second? Oh, she's got me some stuff here I'm going to give you. And I want her to play something softly. Like somebody's praying. And I want Miss Shirley to take just a minute. Tell what God did for her at youth camp. Youth camp.
I just want that girl over beside of me. He's been real good to me. Going to youth camp in 94. You know, I've been to this church my whole life. It wasn't that I didn't hear. But I just never got away from it all the way. I'd come to church on Sunday and go right back to it on Monday. And when I went to camp that summer, I didn't even want to go. I probably wouldn't have, but I was a waitress, and the week before camp, I broke my leg, and I couldn't work, so I went to camp. And it gave me a chance just to get away from everything, and just to get it all out of my system. And, you know, I went to the altar a few times that week. Thursday night, it was just a wonderful service, and I probably went to the altar
for
6 times.
I remember that.
I just wanted to get it all out. You know, I just wanted the Lord just to have His way. And, you know, my life changed that day. I had never been the same. About 2 weeks after that's when our youth choir went to Kentucky and we had that revival. And it was probably the first youth choir trip I'd been on in probably 2 years. And, you know, I met my husband there, and the job I have and the house I have and the home and everything I have right now is
what about
all
that?
Because of that service.
What about that, people?
That week. And I hadn't went, or if I hadn't got right, I don't know where I'd be right now. You know, it's all because of the grace of God.
Woo!
What He did in my heart that time. And, you know, I hadn't ever went back to it. You know, I've missed that since then, but there was a change.
Amen.
And it was because I went that week. Because I gave my heart all of it and didn't hold back anything. And, you know, I had to make some decisions when that week was over. I decided to homeschool my senior year of high school. And, you know, some of my friends thought I was crazy, but they don't think that now. You know, a lot of them, their lives are ruined. And, you know, they're just in a mess right now. And I'm just so happy, and I have everything I could ask for. And it's all because of the Lord and what He did that week in my
heart. Amen.
I just thank Him for being good to me.
Amen. That's just one. Come on up here just a second, Todd. Just a second. Reason I'm getting him up here because tomorrow morning he leaves for Chicago, and he's going to be taking his motorcycle and jump up there at the biggest youth conference in America. Isn't that something? Right here out of old Redneck New Manna Baptist Youth Camp, and we'll be jumping over the head of Dr. Jack Hiles. Is that cool or what? Dr. Hiles has had more influence on people to be soul winners of any man in our generation. He's one of the great preachers of our day. And out there in that little spot that he never even knew existed, God touched somebody that night that's going to influence probably 6,000-7,000 kids this week. Todd. Just in that one little service. People, little is much when God gets in it. Now, you know why we want them to stay at camp? Don't let your kids do this coming forth, back and forth stuff, come out for the end. I mean, if they got to, that's better than nothing. But don't, we're making rooms for our boys and everything, because if you stay all week, you get into it a whole lot more. You become like an outsider, and then you blame everybody else for not making you welcome. And the devil tricks you. So just jump right in there. You know what? What if all y'all said, Danny, you're not welcome at camp? I'd say, tough, I'm going to come anyway. I ain't going to let you cheat me out of what the Lord's got for me this week. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Lord, for saving me. You know, the best thing y'all know my testimony and the race and all that. And, you know, all the goals I set and all that. But, you know, out of all that stuff I've ever did and been on TV and all that stuff and had free motorcycles, out of all that stuff and all the money I ever made and all that, you know, the best thing I ever did in my life was and, you know, when I went out there, I wasn't looking for the Lord or anything like that. You know, I had everything I needed, man. I had free motorcycles and and all the sponsorship I needed and all that stuff. And I wasn't looking for the Lord, you know, and I went out there and just because my girlfriend was out there. And you know, I just went out there to be in them services just because I just wanted to be around her, you know. And you know, when I got out the first couple nights, you know, I just kind of blocked out and just kept right on going. And Thursday night, you know, I got right with the Lord. The best thing I've ever done. And you know what? You know, I never thought, you know, the Lord just used that, you know, and he hold of me.
Amen.
It's just like I got away from everything, out my friends and everything, the music I listened to, and it just got out there, and you know, the Lord just spoke to me, got a hold of me. And, you know, I remember getting down on the altar and getting right with the Lord. And you know, from that point on, that he's directed my path, you know, and I thank him for just guiding my path right on, you know, guiding my walk in life. You know, where would I be right now? You know, I might have been famous right now or something, but, you know, I'd have been wicked, you know, and you know, I'd have been ashamed if I'd have just lived my life the way I wanted to, you know, and everybody thought I was crazy when I come home from camp, you know, and told them I was going to sell all my stuff, they thought I'd be crazy, you know, and you know, now looking back, all my friends, you know, that I remember that has never gone on youth camp, you know, they don't have nothing, and they don't have no, that the Lord just, you know, blessed me so much, and he's guided my path, and I'm glad I'm not where my friends, you know, that I used to hang around with are still.
Amen.
Right now, they're still hanging around them same friends.
That's right.
The beach, and they still hang out, and I'm glad, I, you know, I've got a wife now, and I've got, the Lord just blessed me so much. You know?
Amen.
He's gave me so much, and I don't deserve none of it, and I just thank him, and it was all because of youth camp, you know, I wouldn't where I'd be right now. If I wouldn't have got right here,
but
I thank
him
for all he's done.
Amen. All right, now, as you leave this morning, I think, what we got, about 300 of these? 200? Just one of the family. Boys, y'all get the doors with them, all four doors. This is just another article I just got ready yesterday at the Tuck Valley Youth Crusade. I told Laurie this morning, I said, well, you know, if something bad was to happen at our church, we'd have plenty of nice friends that would love to go blab it around. Here's just something you can blab. You're a hypocrite if you tell all the bad stuff and won't tell the good. You're just a hypocrite. You're just making other people look bad to make them look good. And so blab this to all your friends. Call them up and say, guess what I heard? And then read that to them. If you want to be consistent, don't be a hypocrite. So go to the doors, boys. And don't, the youth choir is going to be here at 6 this evening. Every single one of you, don't miss youth choir practice and don't miss that service tonight. You better bring your football helmets. Amen. Come pray. God bless you. You're at liberty to go.